Hi, I'm Ryan Dobson for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk with a special announcement. Tonight on the Fox News program Hannity, tune in to watch a video tribute to Dr. Billy Graham, followed by a panel discussion on Dr. Graham's legacy that includes my dad. So don't miss it tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern on Hannity. Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. And Dr. Meg Meeker, our physician in residence and valued member of the broadcast team, will be joining us by phone again. Yesterday, we started a great conversation with Cindy and Hugh McMiniman about Cindy's book, When a Woman Inspires Her Husband, Understanding and Affirming the Man in Your Life. And a wide variety of great points were covered, such as how to inspire and be a cheerleader for your husband, building foundations of trust and respect, and how to protect your marriage from outside temptations. But today we're going to dig even further into the examples of what wives can be aware of in their relationship with their husbands. And our hope is that spouses will reevaluate how they're critiquing the other and eventually turn that negative into a positive. So in just a short moment, you'll hear my dad start the discussion with that point. Just to recap our wonderful guests, Cindy and Hugh McMiniman have been married for 25 years. They have a grown daughter and reside in sunny California. Hugh is the senior pastor at Valley Bible Church, where they both minister and speak into the lives of individuals and couples. Cindy is an award-winning writer and speaker, and she definitely has the knowledge to back up what she's going to share with us today. So here now on this Family Talk broadcast is my dad and Dr. Meg Meeker with Cindy and Hugh McMiniman.
Welcome back to Family Talk.
Great to be back with you.
It's good to be back again, Dr. Dobson.
Cindy, some of the other things that you wrote in the way of suggestions, many men will stop communication if you have let him know he's a failure at communicating.
Yes, I remember when Hugh came home one evening and he walked through the door, and I wasn't aware I was doing this, but within the first 15 or 20 minutes, I let him know everything that wasn't working right around here and everything that was wrong with him. And I honestly did not intend to do that. And he told me, he said, you know, Cindy, in all the counseling that I've done with other men who've come to me, he said, and in marriages, as well as in our relationship, he said, I will tell you one thing. A man faces a battle at work, and he doesn't want to have to face a battle when he comes home. He said, a man will gravitate to where he feels successful. If he feels he's not succeeding at home as a husband, as a father, as somebody that can fix things, if he's not succeeding at home, he will not want to be at home very much.
You said treat him like a winner at home and he'll want to be there more often.
Yes. Yeah. The whole king of the castle thing. I remember when Dana was little and Dad would come through the door, Daddy, and she'd go running to him and hug him. Boy, he loved being home. And I even looked at that one day and thought, why am I not running down the stairs saying, Hugh, you're home, and hugging him? Boy, wouldn't he want to come home to me a little bit sooner?
Some women are saying right now, you got to be kidding. I got to go running down the hall to meet my husband when he arrives, when I'm waiting for him to come home and tell me I'm doing a good job.
It really is that sense of the home being a place of peace and that sanctuary that men you really need. You know, as Cindy said, you know, They battle traffic getting to work. They're battling a coworker or a client or some deal at work. They're battling their way home from in traffic, and then they want to come home and at least, you know, get some serenity. And if that home where the wife is involved in that and helping to create that can be that, boy, I mean, that's a nice place to come to.
Hmm. And if you can feel like a winner when you come home,
Cindy, what do you say to women who are working outside the home, and they're coming home at 5 o'clock at the same time their husband is coming home at 5 o'clock, and say, well, that sounds wonderful. I'd love to have a, and I know you talk about creating a lovely, peaceful environment, having things picked up, and I completely agree with you, but they say, you know, I'm as tired as he is at the end of the day, so why should I have to be the one to compliment him and cheer him on? Shouldn't he be doing that for me? Can you speak to exhausted women who are working inside, but mostly outside the home.
Yes, I kept those women in mind as I wrote this and interviewed several of those wives that work full time, even situations where the wives worked and the husbands were unemployed or disabled and they were the ones that were home. And I had wives tell me, yeah, you know, I get home and I'm tired, but I try to use that drive home to just kind of decompress and say, okay, God, I have these certain needs. And I'm tired, but God, would you just fuel me up with that energy? Help me to extend grace and to just be the person that I want him to be toward me. I find that we can diffuse a lot of arguments. We can diffuse a lot of tension by not just reacting, by not escalating the situation and just having that peaceful mode. And hopefully that will be contagious, as well as being able to talk at a good time with our husbands about some of those things when we need what we need when we come home. I found it's never a good time to tell our husband what we need when he's hungry.
No, no, you know? I prefer that too.
Or when the football game's on. Or yeah. Yeah.
You talk in your book about being a cheerleader for your husband, and you use the word C-H-E-E-R. With those letters representing a suggestion. Tell us what they are.
Yes. C is come alongside him. Be that partner that we were created to be. Be his helper. A lot of times when Hugh and I are just working on a project, or I just come along in support and let him know, you know, I believe that you can do this. That's huge to him. Even if he doesn't physically want my help in something that he's doing, just to know that I'm in his corner helps him. The H in cheer is help him look good. All the time. It is so easy for us to cut our husbands down without even realizing it, because again, we can come across as critical. And one way is just to not correct them in front of other people. I've found myself in a situation one time when, you know, Hugh's telling a story and he goes, you know, and it was a Wednesday night, and I'll say, no, it was a Thursday. Does it really matter? Do I need to point out things like that? But I need to always make him look good, especially in front of others.
Okay, that's C-H.
Yeah. Here's an E. Encourage him personally. Maybe sometimes it's simply saying, you know what, you're an awesome man, or I am such a lucky woman to have you. Or I looked around the room and you're still the one that I would pick in a heartbeat. Thank you for what you do for me and for our family. Thank you for being a good provider. And then another E is elevate him in front of others. Not just, well, make him look good and help him avoid looking bad, but actually lifting him up. I have seen men just come alive when their wives will brag on them in public. Mm-hmm. And they'll think, wow, I'm her hero, and she's letting everyone know.
We got an R coming.
Now we got an R. Respond to him enthusiastically. Even if you don't like his idea, let him know, you know what? Let's think about that. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you thought of that. Let's talk about that more. I really want to hear more from you. If we are not enthusiastic when we respond to what our husbands suggest, to what they want to do, they're going to quit suggesting. Again, men can end up going passive and going silent if we're not responding enthusiastically like that cheerleader in their life.
You know, I've said this a number of times, and some of our listeners will have heard it, but I want to say it again, that when I first married Shirley, I had not yet done anything. I was in graduate school, and I hadn't accomplished a lot. But she let me know that she believed in me. And I mean, she really believed in me, and she built something within me that allowed me to go out and to compete in a marketplace of ideas and to take a chance and to, you know, reaching for a doctorate with a lot of competition and the other things. I have said I would not be doing what I am today and what I've done for these 53 years that we've been married if she did not just say those things mechanically, but she believed it. She believed. She would say to me, I can't wait to see what God's going to do with our lives because of you. I mean, she wasn't feeling put upon by building me up like that. She believed it. And it made a big difference in my life.
I noticed that when I worry about things or stress about things and ask Hugh, how are we going to do this, that wears on him. Because he's already thinking about those things. He's already wanting to be the provider. But when I say, you know what, you can do this, and we can do this together. And like you said, I'm excited to see this. His whole countenance changes. So I can see that in him, too, as his eyes light up. My wife does believe in me. Maybe I can do this.
Did you do it also, Meg?
I did. You know, I found that, you know, sometimes you can start encouraging your husband or saying things to build them up, and you might say it with a half heart at the beginning. But one of the amazing things to me was the more I encouraged and applauded Walt and told him, you know, I remember just the other day we were sitting talking and he said, "Boy, I'm one lucky man." And I said, "Yes, you are, because you will never you will never find a woman who's going to think you're more wonderful than I do."
Oh, I like
and,
that.
and I meant it with all of my heart. But 20, maybe 25 years ago, I couldn't have said it with that much enthusiasm, but I mean it from the bottom of my soul. And that draws you closer together because then he feels better and I feel better. But, you know, during those rough years when you have small kids and you're not feeling very affectionate or very adoring of your husband, that can be hard to do. You know, and that's one of the things I was going to ask you, Cindy, as I was listening to you go through the mnemonic cheer. If there are women out there who are having a really rough time in their marriage right now, do you think it's smart for them to try this even though they may not be feeling it, or should they wait until they feel positive about their husbands to give them that encouragement?
What I've seen in my own life is sometimes we start something out of obligation and eventually it becomes something we do out of inspiration. It's never good to say something that's insincere. But again, going back to that place where in my life, there have been some times when I didn't feel like encouraging Hugh when he came home, just events in my life or something that I felt that he should have given me. And I had to come back to God, put in my heart the way I need to feel toward him, change my heart toward him, help me to extend grace, help me to treat him today the way I really, really want him to treat me. And sometimes we have to call upon that supernaturally. But God's always faithful, yeah, and he gives us that heart.
Hugh, weigh in here. How do you see the things that are written in this book?
You know, we were talking a little bit earlier about that trust factor and, you know, cheering your husband on. And I just want to say also that, you know, a marriage also needs to be a place where, you know, there's freedom to fail, because guys are going to make mistakes and they're going to have grand ideas and they're going to suggest something that's not always going to work out right. And I think, you know, men and women and husbands and wives, they need to be able to just say to each other, you know, that didn't work out okay, but I trust you. But, you know, it didn't destroy everything. And, you know, let's just recover from that and move on. So I think with that honesty and that transparency, that's so huge for a marriage. You know, and Cindy talking about the feelings, you know, I find out that sometimes, you know, if I'm obedient and following what God wants me to do, the feelings sometimes come later. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, yeah, I don't feel like studying the Word right now. I don't feel like, you know, being in that mode of worship. But I know it's what God is wanting me to do. And then all of a sudden I find out, hey, I'm enjoying this. And it really – I'm liking what's happening here. And so sometimes the feelings, the emotions will follow to enforce the fact that I did the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Cindy, what do you say to the woman out there who says, yeah, but you don't know my husband?
Right.
I mean, you know, there are some men that are not good husbands. Some of them are alcoholics and some of them are workaholics and some of them have no clue as to what a woman wants or needs. Yeah. The need to talk, the need to be affirmed, all of that. You run into those kind of women, don't
you? I do. And I often say, I don't know your husband, but I do know your God and what he's, yeah, like. And God knows your heart and your husband's heart. And when we have a heart to do the right thing, when we have a heart to show that unconditional love, to extend grace even when it's not deserved, to love our husbands the way God loves us, again, God always changes something. He changes our heart and he transforms us as wives. And that in turn transforms a marriage. In the last chapter of When a Woman Inspires Her Husband, it's called Loving Him as God Does. And I use those examples of how God loves us, and I ask wives to imitate those ways that God loves us toward their husbands. And I know as I've done that in my marriage, as I've counseled other women to do that in their marriages, it's huge. Even with a husband who is not open and receptive to the things of God, he begins to see unconditional love and grace that his wife shows him. Mm. And that gives him a glimpse of God's love for him.
You're speaking all over the country, and the Lord has really opened a tremendous ministry to you here. I mentioned in the first program the other books that you've written. You're really making a contribution. But what do you feel when you're out there and you're looking in the eyes of the women that are there? What do you hear from them, and how do you feel when you see them getting it and understanding? Do you have that sense of accomplishment?
You know what? It's always humbling to me to think that anything in my life or my marriage can actually help somebody else. That's the power of God, and I'm amazed by that. It's so encouraging to me to see women truly do want their marriages to work. They really do want to make the effort. Again, I thought a lot of women would be closed off to when a woman inspires her husband. And every once in a while I'll hear someone say, well, when are you going to write about how my husband can inspire me? But for the most part, they're picking it up and they're saying, I want to read it. And I want to do one more thing that I need to grow. So it's very exciting to see them get it. And like I said, it's humbling too, that God can use any of us to impact anyone's life.
Dr. Meagher, you are speaking out there, too, and you have that same experience. Tell us about it.
I do, and I think that, you know, so many times God's great lessons come in ways that don't seem natural to men or to women. You know, for instance, you know, if you want to have a better marriage and you are discouraged, thinking, like you said, Jim, you know, my husband's an alcoholic, life is miserable, you just don't understand. And while you can't change him, if you do begin to pray, first of all, God begins to change you, and no situation is hopeless to God. And while it may seem reasonable to you to make other kinds of changes or go to a counselor or file for divorce or whatever, you know, the world will tell us to do, when you begin to turn the tables and love on that man as God loves him, and that is a very hard thing to do, and I don't say that easily because I've seen some really, really difficult husbands out there and wives too, but when you turn it around, that's when God really, I find, opens the floodgates in a marriage, and it doesn't feel, you know, to the world, it doesn't look like a natural consequence of serving, but it really does. It comes back full circle to bless you as a wife and to bless the family. And as we're sitting here talking, I can't help but think, Cindy and Hugh, of the ripple effect of your marriage and your work in your marriage on your children. Can you address how this would affect your children?
You have one daughter.
That's right.
One child.
Mm-hmm. Dana.
Yeah, Dana. And she's now 21.
She's 21 years old.
And graduating from college.
About to graduate from Cal Baptist in Riverside, California.
And she has a role in the church.
Yes. She's our worship director at church. She's very musically talented. She can write. She can speak. I think she got the best of both of us. She
You have a great relationship with her. You,
I do. I enjoy times with my daughter. You know, I was. I have two older sisters, and there's three kids in our family. And you know, I didn't have any brothers around or anything growing up. But for some reason, God just allowed me and my daughter to have a great friendship. You know, we went to a concert the other night together and just had fun. You know, and this camping trip, like we said, we did years and years ago. Just for some reason, God has just allowed us to really enjoy each other as people. And I just have loved to watch her, the way she's growing up, and like Cindy said, getting the best from both of us. And I'm pretty sure we're laying a good foundation for her, for whatever, how God's going to use her in his kingdom for ministry and his glory.
Dana knows our marriage is real, okay? She knows at times, you know, there's days when she's like, why are you guys talking on the radio about marriage? Because she sees a lot of it, but she also knows what we've tried to instill in her, and that even when situations might look impossible or frustrating, that we know the God of the impossible, and he's always come through for us.
And Dr. Meagher, you know, I think one other thing, too, is that, you know, our daughter, she hasn't seen a perfect marriage, but she's seen two parents that when things get a little stressed, they're willing to work it out, and they've found a solution. I think that's maybe the biggest lesson she's learned is that, yeah, mom and dad had a little spat, but you know what? They stuck in until they got it worked out. I think that's a great lesson for her to observe.
I wish every child could say that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that, as she moves forward into her dating relationships, into her marriage, you know, you have freed her up to really respect and love her husband rather than growing up hearing her dad constantly criticized and put down. I think women often forget the effect that it has on our kids, which is we're really harming their future, particularly daughters, their future relationships with their husbands, and our sons, their future relationships with their wives, because kids will repeat what they see and what they know. So I just wanted to put a plug in how positive and wonderful this work could be on children in the marriage.
Well, Cindy and Hugh, I'd like to wrap up the second program by talking about your book itself. When a Woman Inspires Her Husband is the title of it, Understanding and Affirming the Man in Your Life. And on the back cover, it says, how can you become your husband's number one fan? And that's the cheerleader idea. Mm-hmm. And let me read. God created your man with a unique set of qualities and talents. There's no one else like him in the whole world. And God brought you alongside him in marriage to love and support him as only a wife can. Discover how you can be an encourager and motivator, the inspiration and admiration behind your husband, the wind beneath his wings, as you understand his world, become his cheerleader, appreciate his differences, ease his burdens, and encourage him to dream. You know, another book, you maybe this is yours, can be When a Man Inspires His Wife.
Because
there are two sides to this, and I bet you've heard it, haven't you?
I think the other side needs to come out too, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the book is filled with practical information coming right out of life. And I really enjoyed having you as our guest today. And Meg, you want to close it out here?
Absolutely. You know, Hugh and Cindy, I'm just so encouraged by the work that you're doing, and I just feel so honored to be able to talk with you today and ask these wonderful questions and learn myself about you know, what we wives can do to really encourage our husbands and put our whole families back on track. And I can testify that what you write about really does work, because I've lived it for 32 years with my husband, and well, most of the 32 years, 28 out of 32, whatever. But it really does work, and I'd encourage all our listeners out there to buy a copy of the book, to read the book, and to give it a go, because it really is good stuff, and it really allows God to work in wonderful ways in a marriage.
Cindy, you've got a book coming out January 1st, 2014 by the title God Whispers to a Woman's Heart.
Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
God's Whispers to a Woman's Heart is just a little devotional book. It's about purse-sized. It's one of those soft padded devotionals, one devotional per page, about sometimes we just need to reconnect and refocus and realize that in the midst of the noise in our busy schedules, God wants to whisper onto our hearts his love and affirmation for us.
Well, our guests have been Cindy and Hugh McMenamin, and once again, Cindy is the author of a number of books that our listeners are going to want to find in the bookstores because the titles are fascinating. And Reverend Hugh McMenamin is the pastor of Valley Bible Church in San Marcos, California.
Right, San Diego County.
Yeah, want to move to Colorado Springs?
I love
it here.
It's beautiful. You're having some great weather here.
Well, it's been good to have you. And Dr. Meeker, thank you for joining us today.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Meeker.
Well, our listeners can go to drjamesdobson.org and find out more about the book and find out where they can also get the other books that you've written. God's blessings to you all. You love the Lord, don't you?
Oh, we do.
That's right.
It shows in what you've said.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson.
That was Cindy and Hugh McMenamin on this Family Talk broadcast, and it's so true. You can definitely see and hear their love for God and for the sanctity of marriage. Like my dad said, you can go to drjamesdobson.org to get a copy of When a Woman Inspires Her Husband, Understanding and Affirming the Man in Your Life for Yourself and a Married Couple in Your Life. And when you're online, make sure to post this two-day program on your Facebook page for all your friends and family to hear. And also let them know they can listen in for free via the Family Talk app or online at drjamesdobson.org anytime, day or night. And something else to keep in mind, if you're interested in a counseling referral in your area, you can also find that at drjamesdobson.org. There is nothing wrong with seeking outside help for an issue you or your spouse are facing, or you can even utilize that resource as a preemptive measure. One last thing, keep in mind that Family Talk is completely listener-supported, and anything you can do to help would be a tremendous blessing. You can give online at drjamesdobson.org via our Family Talk app, our Facebook page, or when you call us, 877-732-6825. Thanks for stopping by for the conclusion of this program today, and we hope you'll tune in next time for another great edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.